by popular demand, We'll Travel the Podcast. We are live coming to you from the compound. I'm here with none other than Josh Cobb. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Glad to be back.
Who's still Sting music intro?
Sting music intro. Where'd you get that from? Wow, Josh has got his arms up, leaning comfortably back, and he exposed a very large bruise on our arm. You have no idea.
No problem.
Come on.
Absolutely not.
Come on. I thought you had a black eye yesterday, and now you got a big bruise on your.
And I got a big bruise on my thigh that ran into the bumper on somebody's truck.
I gotta come clean with you. Today, when we were building the enduro cross track, I may or may not have hit a tire with your truck.
You did what?
I may or may not have hit a tire.
With what part of
your bumper? Your front bumper.
There is no front bumper.
Well, that's a problem.
There is no front bumper.
Because I came in contact with a very large earth-moving equipment tire.
If it was with the rear bumper, that was what it built. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, this was not that. This was... Yeah, the front part of the car made contact with a tire that I didn't know was there.
What do you mean you didn't know was there?
I did not know
it
was
there. You drove that truck for to, what was that, 2015?
I don't know, when did you get your license?
11 years? In 2015.
Okay.
You drove that truck for 11 years.
Yeah. Not a scratch. Not a scratch.
It's mine and you...
Crash.
Yeah.
I didn't crash. I'm not like Larry. I'm not like your mom.
Jesus.
I didn't run it into a rock, back it into a rock.
Oh, but the tailgate down and then drive forward.
Forward off of it.
Yeah. Off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. There's already a line coming back. A second line going the other way isn't gonna hurt anything.
Hey, listen, Wheel Travel, the podcast, we're back. Glad to be here. We tried this the other day. We tried a comeback, and after talking for about 50 minutes, lo and behold, I looked down, and it had stopped recording at the 8-minute and 30-second mark. So I'm not quite sure how this is going to go, but here we are. Here we are. We're glad to be back, and it's been a long time coming. We've been so goddamn busy. What have we been doing? When was the last? The last podcast was like New Year's Day.
Yeah, it was on New Year's, and I think we talked about
I wanted to hear some rhymes. I wanted to hear you spit some rhymes.
No, that's who's the kid that was gonna do the Brandon Easy. Little Meatball.
Little Meatball?
Little Meatball.
There's nothing little about that meatball.
No.
He's a large Italian sausage.
Yeah.
He was leaning back in the chair doing his little rap, and I'm thinking the structural capacity of that chair was certainly seeing its limits, and it was almost tacoed to the ground. So, and when I said you guys need to go, what I really was saying is, dude, folding my chair in half, you need to go, because your rap sucked and you're bending my chair in half.
Yeah.
Nice kid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got a good group of people there that...
I try to.
The boys were in the house. I still don't figure out the Taylor thing. None of my business. But I can't figure that one out. I mean, you got a bunch of young, motivated men that are moving forward. And here's this young kid that, on paper, says he wants to move forward, but... Actions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's hard to move forward when you're flipping your hair back. So, just saying. Anyway. So, today, we spent all day. I came home from the shop. It's Sunday. Came home from the shop, and I was adamant about doing one of the 99 things that's on the honey-do list, and I came home with a box full of outdoor floodlight LEDs that I was excited about putting up. I was excited about getting rid of some stuff out in the driveway. Matter of fact, Alex had to listen to me shoveling the driveway while we were talking on the phone. And there's lots of rocks and lots of dirt on it from all the rains that we had. And I was shoveling it off, and most of it stuck to the concrete. So I had to actually like chisel it. And he had to listen through all of that stuff that he was telling me.
We need a second power.
We need a second home. We need a clean home, and then this home.
So you mean like a home for mom, and like a home?
We'd never see her.
I know.
Oh, you're my own place?
No, you don't get your own place. That's why we don't have a second home. Well, that we can't afford it.
You can build a shop right there.
I would like that very much. We just talked about that tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Mrs. Cobb definitely puts it upon us that we don't have that second shop. And we just, quite frankly, need her to work harder.
I agree. I agree. 2019 is the year to blame other people.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just hand this shit off. So, Josh, I'm afraid to ask this question, but since January 1, 2019, what's been going on?
A lot.
There's a lot going on over there right now.
Over where?
In your department.
In my department?
Yes.
Over here,
yes.
On this side of the desk?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Honey?
Yeah.
Honey? Let's lay off the barbecue before podcast for Josh, okay? Thank you. Thank you.
I'm at DJ for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I've been carrying the show for 2 years now. I can carry it for... And you've never gone to the bathroom for 5 minutes. Who are we lying to?
Carrying the show.
Caring. So, what have we been doing? Give me a quick synopsis of what has been going on since January 1.
Does it need to be quick so that you can carry the rest of the show? Is that why you want it to be quick? Or
I'd like for it to be quick so that you can go to the bathroom, you can stop whatever it is that's going on over there that has crawled up you and died.
No need to.
And I would also like for you to know that with those topics and with those subjects, I can then thus carry the show. I couldn't say it with a straight face. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, what's been going on since New Year's? So basically this year. What's been going on this year?
Yeah. Let's start with Parker.
Oh, okay. Well,
I would not just understand that there's enough bitches in this class that talk shit, that try to stir up shit, that absolutely he will find out if you talk something bad about him, which I think he'd be the first one to talk bad about himself, but you using that segue, probably not a good start.
Gotcha. Parker, well,
how many times did Joe roll? Twice?
Yeah.
Twice? How about Brandy trying to fix the rear end of the truck with his catheter tube and Joe saying, nix the catheter tube, let's fix it right instead of getting to the pits? I think that's the funniest thing on the planet. First of all, what an ingenious fix. Second of all, Joe saying, not on my watch.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Joe was unable to get back out onto the third lap. But
why?
Because he ran out of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because?
Well, you got to understand, he's not in that mindset of hurry up and fix things. He comes from a road racing world.
Right, where if something happens out on the track, they bring it into the garage, they do it right.
Yes, everybody's got white gloves. Everybody's got a lab coat.
Yes.
You can't have oils contaminating the race course.
No,
you can't.
Right into the clean room.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it's stuff like that. That hey, we're still recording, and we're at the 9:54 mark. That's pretty good.
Wow, I'm excited for about the hour mark.
All this is wasted. Yeah, we've been there, done that.
Yeah. But maybe you could. Did you say it last show?
No, not at all.
We're just gonna start airing out in like.
Just
have
them together.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
So we'll pick up where we left off last night.
Yeah. So
which was, I don't think we even got to eight.
No,
we did a lot.
We're way past where we were there.
We did a lot of talking and didn't get it.
Yeah. As usual. As usual.
Yes.
So why?
Well, because you were carrying the show.
That's right.
Well, that's weird.
Absolutely.
That is weird.
So were you disappointed or were you impressed with the amount of Trick Truck turnouts at Parker, considering that 4 days later was the King of the Hammers race? This is why I carry the show. The long pauses.
Well, if you could quit rudely interrupting.
Oh, did I do that? I'm sorry.
I
didn't even realize I was doing that.
Hey, you're the one that called me in here for this.
Oh, yes. You said, yeah, all right, let's get it over with.
That's not at all what I said.
Well, that was your mother.
Yes.
Evil woman.
What was it? Oh, Trick Trucks. Yeah, that was okay. Yes, I am. I really thought that.
I asked you two questions. Your answer cannot be I am.
You said, are you surprised with the amount of Trick Truck turnout?
Or were you disappointed with the turnout?
No, you didn't say that.
Were you disappointed with the turnout? I wish we had a producer.
You said it.
That was the second thing I said. That was the second thing. No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. That was the only thing you said.
No, it's not true.
Well, you were losing. You were goddamn lying.
Okay, moving on. Yes, were you impressed or were you?
I was impressed. I thought that everyone was going to see the big cash prize and shoot for that.
Yeah, but it was invitational. Right. Not everybody could go.
And then I was like, okay, well, they're only going to invite such and such people. So I think what everyone was hoping was that the big guys weren't going to come play for Parker. They were going to go to the King of the Hammers race. And so now more people are shot winning this thing. But when you got guys out there, like Jason Voss and you know, Graf, and you still have a lot of upfront guys that came out. I mean, you really don't see
that. I will say this. It was pretty cool driving Sunday morning, driving back through main pits, and looking at all the Trick Truck teams prepping their cars in their pits.
Yes.
That was cool.
That was impressive.
Yeah, that was really cool, actually. When the place had turned into a ghost town, there was seven teams that still had their full rig set up, and they were prepping everything, and it was cool.
And not like, oh, we gotta change tires, and we gotta chuck this, and we gotta chuck that.
Yeah, no change oil and tires. It was right. Full prep.
Yes, like frame on the stands, rear end off, front end off, going through everything.
I think Parker has such a bad reputation as being a easy race or a it is extremely rough. It is extremely long. It plays much larger than a 427. It plays like a 500. It plays like a 550. It plays rough like a Mexico race. I think it is absolutely underrated as far as accomplishments. And there's no doubt that when someone goes to prep their truck afterwards, they absolutely find more damage than what they had expected. Because your mindset for Parker is fast graded roads. And it's rougher. It's easily rougher than Vegas Arena.
Oh, for sure. For sure. In the last, what is that, 14 miles of Vegas Arena where you're climbing up through the rocks?
Yeah.
And you're going slow. Parker, you're trying to charge the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I made that mistake last year. Right off the bat. We passed everybody by the time everybody except Smiths. By the time we got out of Osborne, I'm like, let's just keep going. At that point, why stop your pace if you're in the zone? But you gotta go back, and you gotta, who cares if somebody goes by you, go figure out what the deal is on lap three.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that.
So Travis Williams in the trophy light class comes out swinging, gets the truck upside down fairly quickly, thinks he throws away the day, has a remarkable comeback. It did not hurt that Greg Bragg had steering problems. It did not hurt. that the one of the winter boys, Ryan, and BK, Barry, had they had a spindle or a hub break or something.
They had a hub break.
Hub break at 80 miles an hour and crashed the truck repeatedly. And then
and Corey also rolled a couple of times, and they were stopped for a while. Luckily, Travis ended up rolling like 6 times and landed back on wheels.
It was that bad of a crash.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Schmizer rolled.
Yes.
So here's the funny thing about that. Joe rolled twice. Corey Winter did or did not roll.
Did
roll.
Did
Ryan?
Yeah, he had the front bumper off the truck. Remember?
Yeah.
He went end over end a couple of times.
Ryan Winter rolls, and Schmizer rolls. How many trucks had the widening kit?
Four.
All four roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a mental state of I can now go harder?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And limited seat time.
I think that's the key. I think I can go harder. I don't know this truck.
For sure, I think it is I can go harder. Yeah. And maybe it's not in, you know, right in front of you and you're not constantly thinking it. Push it harder, it's wider. I think it's somewhere in the back of your mind you're going, oh, well, it did that corner fairly easy. It'll do this corner fairly easy. And everyone knows that there are no two corners the same.
Yeah.
There are no two whoops the same. Everything's different.
Right. And Trick Truck. Who wins Trick Truck at Parker? Do you remember?
Oh, God.
So long ago.
That's the wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And Class 1, Class 10, Class 6100, it doesn't matter. But it was so long ago.
Yes.
If you really want to know, you can look it up. Quit being so lazy and look it up. Then we go to the Mint. It's 30 days apart. We did have something in between. What was it? I know we had a driving school.
Driving school.
And we had something else.
Oh, and that's something I want to touch on.
Okay, let's go.
This show.
Let's talk.
Is the rental guys.
Let's break
so
it down.
Far.
Let's break it down.
We've had some good groups of rental guys. And all of them. One of the rental guys is planning on buying a truck. And then the other rental guy has already talked about coming back and doing another race. And I would not mind having both of those teams back.
Good people.
Yeah. Good atmosphere. Happy go lucky. Just keep moving.
Yeah.
Did everything you called to. It was great.
You know the great thing about a rental guy? They're never unhappy.
That's a good point.
They're never unhappy. It's the best experience of their life. And I think that's one thing that we forget when we're in the middle of all of this, that we're still doing the sport that we love and we're still doing the things that we want to do with our lives. And somehow either making a living at it or somehow, you know, we've created amazing friends, amazing relationships. Some of them fall apart. Some of them stay together. Who gives a shit? The fact of the matter is that we're having the opportunity, and the opportunity is all you can ask for, because what you make of that opportunity, that's up to you. And if shit goes south and you don't like the outcome of something or whatever, so be it. That's on you. That's on the other person. But the fact of the matter is you had the opportunity for something amazing. And these people see that for what it is. They see the fact that they've been on the outside looking in this whole time. And all of a sudden, they get the opportunity to race with their heroes and to race in a really, really cool platform and to hop out there and to do their best and to accomplish their goals, such as finishing the Mint or finishing Parker. That deal with Ty Fall and Greg Payne, those guys, you can just tell that when Ty was growing up, Greg was all over him. And that was a bad relationship. That was horrible. So much to the point that they needed this to put them back together. And all we got at the end of that was, I got my son back. We did this together. We were a great team. We accomplished the things that we wanted to accomplish and we're so excited, and we will be back, and thank you so much. That's what it's all about.
Well, for sure, that is exactly what it's all about. But on the other hand, what was the sound name? That was
Ty.
Ty also said, hey, this next one that we do, my dad will not be invited. We need to go a little bit faster.
Yeah, but you know what? Ty also knows what that was about.
Oh, yes.
He knew that was a bigger than him situation. And it was about them, and about them replacing the years that they had lost, and they got them all back in one day. And
I'm sure right now, just sitting around the dinner table, telling stories.
Yes.
We
absolutely.
We asked this guy, and that's the other great thing, is the stories at the end. I mean, that is my favorite part. Is listening to the Roman guys, because you and I both know we hear from so-and-so, we hear from the teams themselves, or we're lending parts out, or we need parts, I passed this guy going through the rough, and he was just on the wrong line. That guy may or may not have had engine issues all day, he had no power steering, you and I know that, but they don't.
Right.
We're going to keep it that way. But seeing them light up and tell stories afterwards is awesome.
No, you're absolutely right. And then, you go to the Mint, and you have these guys. So, this guy from Atlanta, he has a UTV, and it's a pretty mentioned UTV. And matter of fact, there's rumors, and I don't know why this wasn't confirmed, because I asked him point blank about it, but there was rumors that it was once owned by the head marketing guy for Polaris that races now. What's his name?
Scanlon.
It was one of his old play cars or whatever. It makes sense. It had a bunch of rigid lights on it. It had a bunch of, a lot of affiliates that he deals with on it. It was a nice looking car. And for being in Atlanta, it was a really, really nice car.
Oh, yeah.
So someone from back there buys it because they want to go do the Mint in it. And so all of a sudden,
they buy it 2 weeks before the Mint.
2 weeks before the Mint, and there was a lot that had to be changed.
Oh,
the cage had opening working doors, which is a no-no.
The cage wasn't legal.
Yeah, and there was nothing competitive or legal about the car. As a matter of fact, it was set up. Oh my gosh, it's 8 o'clock, I'm so tired. It was set up for the King of Hammers, set up for rock bouncing, set up for the kind of riding that they do back there. And we saw some of those guys' videos. It's amazing going through the streams and going over the boulders.
Stream.
And
the call it a stream.
All right, it was a river. A
flowing, working river that was angry.
Yes, it was an angry day. Anyway, so this car was purchased, put together, rebuilt, put together again. And then now this guy's like, hey, can I come with you? I want to... Just let me ride the last lap, but I'll pay my part. And the guy's like, I don't know, we'll see. I got some buddies that are coming that want to do this. And so then he starts looking around. He finds Trophy Light, and lo and behold, he goes and does it. And his car made it less than a lap. Spectacular pictures of its crash and demise.
Yes.
And he made it, of course, the entire distance, which is just really, really cool. And the fact that those guys had such a blast. Then they called me on Monday morning, said, hey, we want to do the next one. And by the way, keep your eyes open. We're looking for a car.
Are they doing Silver State?
So they're doing Silver State. They hope to do it in their own car.
Gotcha.
There's Mike McCarthy's car that we're looking at. There's Doc Chandler's car we're looking at. So they're going to fly out here. He doesn't want to, but
he wants to.
But he just doesn't see getting back to it. And, he's having fun with the UTV and Nora and doing that kind of thing. And, listen, you're only gay once, so.
Well, I hope he's a good guy.
He is a great guy, and we're better off for having him. But it's one of those things that he's being realistic, and he wants to help the series. He doesn't want the car sitting, so he'd rather see it out there racing than not. So, and I appreciate that. So with that being said. Yeah, that's true. You selfish bastard. So Mike McCarthy, since we've opened the shop, it's Mike McCarthy has become a staple. And what is so funny about this is that if anybody's met Mike McCarthy, this will be really funny. But I was told forever, like, hey, that guy's a nut. That guy, stay away from that guy. What a mess. That guy's this. That guy's that. And he walks in the first day and kind of has this standoffish attitude of, so what are you doing here? And he's got a little whiny, little weaselly voice, you know, what's going on here?
It's kind of like the CIA opened up a fake business and we're trying to bust him, and he supposedly knew about it. That's kind of the attitude that he had. He thought he was ahead of the game.
Yeah, and imagine this. He's wearing the fake glasses with the fake nose and mustache on it, except for that's really his mustache. But
it really is
his nose. So he's like, so what's going on here? What do you do here? Is this really trophy light? And they said, you know, I have a trophy light. I'm like, yes, I know exactly what car you have. And yes, we know who you are. And oh, you didn't know who I am. Well, you know, yeah. And so let me see here. Let me walk through through your shop here and see what's going on. And let me give this my approval. And he didn't give anything his approval.
No.
And
coincidentally enough, the only thing approved by Mike McCarthy is something that Mike McCarthy does.
What's that?
No, just anything.
Just anything he does.
Anything
yes.
He does is approved by Mike McCarthy.
Yes, yes. Everything else is just not satisfactory.
No.
So, you know, hey, why are you doing this way? Why are you doing that way? And you know, so he has been absolutely entertaining. He has been at sometimes incredibly annoying. We have to be patient with him. But at the same time, I will tell you that this is probably one of the most misunderstood human beings I've ever met in my life. He has been so good to us and so just really, really wanting to make sure that we put our best product forward, you know, questioning everything we do. And if we take that with the spirit in which it's intended, it's been absolutely amazing. Now, it's hard to keep up with the I'm selling the truck, I'm not selling the truck, I'm driving the truck, I'm not driving the truck, I'm racing my 7200, I'm racing a 6100, we're now a trek truck, we're now, you know, I'm it's hard to keep up with all of that, but I will tell you, I don't give a shit what he does, because the fact of the matter is I'll say it publicly, I'll say it out loud, and most people will think I'm crazy. If you know him, I'm a Mike McCarthy fan.
Oh, yeah.
The shit that comes out of that guy's mouth. I mean, we have a little shop grunt that shows up at 1 o'clock every day from school. He's named him Nipples. And there's no explanation as to why. But I mean,
nobody knows why. I don't think Mike knows why.
Mike doesn't know why.
But now we have Nipples and Scrotum.
Scrotum, yeah.
And
which was for a while named Foreskin.
Yes.
But I think Scrotum stuck to your leg. And, you know, there's the Prince.
Ah, yes.
And,
Prince.
I don't have a name, which I'm grateful for, but,
I was kind of excited that I wasn't in the nickname boat until I got named the Prince, and I was really excited that I wasn't in the sex term nickname boat.
Sure. Unless it was Prince Albert.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
You didn't even think about that, did you?
Right.
No, okay, but we're on the wrong thing.
What do you mean we're on the wrong thing?
We had. So I hope this sounds better. This should sound a lot better. And I hope I just realized an error that I had made in my setup of the deal, that I wasn't on the right deal. But anyway, Mike McCarthy, go ahead. Like it never happened, Josh. Go ahead.
Oh, like it never happened, huh?
Yeah, we're going to use that. I mean, we can see that at least one of them was real.
Oh, good.
So they heard us at some point, but it probably doesn't sound very good.
All right.
So if this is anything like the Dave Brocious deal, the one of us will be very quiet and the other one will be very loud. And I'm not going to go back like I did on the Dave Brocious deal and re-record all of my questions.
Oh, God.
So if I were you, I'd get up on your mic. So anyway, Mike McCarthy is a fantastic guy. He's been a tremendous amount of help. So the Mint 400
comes around, and we have four people that we're pitting for, and one rental customer, and Joe. Joe, unfortunately, does not make it very far. He had a torque converter issue, which was unfortunate because he had a lot of truck and he was doing very, very well. I think he would have podiumed had he just had a clean day.
Yeah, with how that race went.
Yeah. And how well he was driving. He was driving very well. And we had Daniel Plaza. We had co-driver to the stars with him. And, you know, of course, Travis and Greg Bragg, they put on one hell of a show.
Absolutely annihilated it all day long. How
those guys were within a handkerchief all day long.
Yeah. Pitch perfect on how Trophy Light Racing should be.
Well, how it normally is. I mean, it's very, very close racing.
Yeah.
But those guys did amazing. Both of those guys, you know, kudos to their team. They were able to press their trucks all day long and get every ounce from them that they could, and with no falters. And I just was really, really impressed with those two guys. And you know, Greg Bragg had a horrible Parker, and he comes back and he rebounds with a win. And we've done I think Gino's come up with a neat little bonus program for if you have a DNF, because we are not taking – you can't drop a race in our series. And he's come up with a way that if you have a bad race, you're not out of it. Bonus program. And if your next race is a rebound race and you have a good race, such as Greg Bragg, you get a bonus for however many cars you finished ahead of what your last result was or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll have to see what came up of it. But it was important to us. Greg Bragg brought up a great point that, you know, he felt like he was out of it right away. And we said no.
You mean the guy that, like, almost won the championship last year?
Yeah. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
But he still has a dramatic deficit for being two races into the season to Travis Williams. Travis Williams is running away with it.
Yeah, for sure. But
it's not over yet. It's a long way from being over.
But
it's a third of the way.
Yeah, but you know that just everybody has their race.
They have their race or they have their season. I mean, that happens a lot where people
I mean their race that they falter. It seems like guys usually pull either 4 or 5 out of 6 races a year, and the other one or two is a DNF. And it seems like it's
well,
that
that's
way.
Off-road racing, right?
Yeah, no, and sometimes.
And with Trophy Light, it's better. I mean, our average last year was 77% finishing ratio.
Oh, for sure.
So, I mean, that makes sense to what you're saying, because that means that 30%, you know, you're going to have problems, or actually it's closer to 20% than it is to 30%.
Right.
And it's, there you go. You're right. He was due, right?
Yes. And sometimes it's just, you're right. You're due. Due for a failure. You're due for something. And sometimes it goes the other way. You're due for a win. You're due for, you know, a podium spot.
Yeah. So we get back. The phone's been ringing off the hook. You know, we have rentals. We have driving schools. We have a tremendous amount of interest in Silver State. We've been incredibly busy trying to clean up the mess that we have down there, and trying to get everything up and going, and it's been incredibly busy.
Oh yes,
we went to King of the Hammers. We went to King of the Hammers because Dave Cole approached us at the Off-Road Expo, asked if we would be interested in being part of his off-road racing program in 2020. We went out there to put an eyeball on it. The fact of the matter is that it would be an invitational. It would not be a Trophy Light Point Series event. So we're trying to figure out how to make that work. In the meantime, we get a call from Yokohama They put a race together with Travis Pastrana and the Nitro Circus guys, and it's called the
Nitro World Games.
Nitro Circus World Games, or yep. Yeah. And they want us to be part of that, but then again, it's made for TV. There can only be 10 cars. You know, how do we deal with that? Yokohama wants to put up a lot of money. In the meantime, we're working on our race, which is at Glen Helen, July 5th this year. So we've been incredibly busy. We've been busy with a couple of other projects that we're working on that, you know, we're not quite ready to unveil yet, but we're excited about it, about the future of where we're headed and where the sport's headed. We are excited about our R8 program. We've had some huge progress in that arena. There's a lot of stuff going on. Then we have a driving school. Well, first of all, Friday, we have contingency for Battle at Prim, which is one of our regional races.
Ah, yes.
And then Wednesday and Thursday, we have our driving school. And then the following Wednesday, we have another driving school. And then Thursday, we're on display at Desert Storm in Lake Havasu. And then the following week, we have Silver State 300. I don't understand
why you like that show so much.
Oh, I don't know. It's just a bunch of rich guys and money who want to check things off their bucket list. And
No. I get that part of it. But, like, you really, really like that show.
Oh, I don't know. Million Dollar Boats and Girls in Bikinis. I tend to gravitate towards that. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm a freak. Well, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm not a fan of the show.
Why?
I just don't. Not my cup of tea. The boats are cool to look at, but it's kind of like, you know, hey, I saw it in person and
there's a possible opportunity for a spit sighting. That doesn't just happen at everything we do.
No. Speaking of spits, row one today in his class pulls a hole shot. Third on the road.
Tell me Jacob got a win.
Sixth on time.
Fantastic. That's great.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and those guys haul ass.
Yes.
And he's doing extremely well. That is fantastic.
The little RS1 puts down some power.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a nice car.
Yes.
And what's the other brother doing?
Oh, I didn't see it. I just saw a post from Jacob. I think.
But he's racing this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he's in an 800.
Okay.
So that makes sense. I don't think he did the UTV World Championship.
So there was talk that Craig was going to get behind the wheel of a UTV. Did that ever happen?
Not yet. But not yet. He's trying really hard.
Yeah. Well, it should happen.
No, for sure it should.
It should happen. That guy's fast.
I don't think you should go from having a win to selling the truck.
Well, yeah.
I mean, end on a good note, but come on, we just got the party started.
But his best buddy was absolutely hating on Trophy Light, and we were not forthcoming with information. He didn't know where everything was going. He wanted to concentrate on his kids.
Yeah.
Or this is at least what I've heard and what I might be regurgitating crap, but, you know, this is the rumor on the streets. And, you know, I get it. I get it. He, you know, everybody loved Craig Spitz. So it's a tough loss when he goes away.
Yeah.
But it's also opened the doors for the guys from Idaho who have done extremely well. You know, they finished the Mint. They finished Pahrump. They finished third and fourth, right?
Yeah.
So, those guys are doing extremely well.
Speaking of having races.
Yeah. So, you know, look, with every, what's that saying? With every death comes a new birth, or you know what I'm trying to say. I don't know.
Isn't that the one about, like, the dark skies and the rainbows?
I don't know about that, but anyway, it's going well. And then we'll have, you know, there's a rumor that Jason Crabtree is going to race Battle at Prim. There's a rumor that Jim Rossi is going to be there. Then Todd Mosden, we know Mosden, he's going to be there. You know, the I was trying to have a vehicle to go do that and support that, but with our driving schools and stuff like that, it just doesn't work out. I can't go out there and hurt a truck. We're screwed.
Yes.
No.
You're screwed.
No, we are.
No.
You're part of this.
No. Because at that point, you screw up the truck. I'm taking a week-long vacation.
Fair enough.
And you have fun, buddy.
So, what else has happened? We had the UTV World Championships.
Yeah.
We had San Felipe. Andy McMillan wins San Felipe. We have Seth
Quintero winning the naturally aspirated. Phil Blurton wins turbo.
Phil Blurton's badass.
Yep.
That makes sense. Any word from the kids? I don't know how anybody did. I should text my buddy Jeremy and see how their kids did. They had 5 races that they were in amongst his 2 kids or something like that. I don't 5. Even know how that happens.
Probably like
170, 250, and 570?
Yeah.
Okay. So I hope to see all of those guys at our race in July 5th and 6th. We're having a race at Glen Helen. There's only 5 classes that have been invited. And, well, there's actually 4 that have been invited so far. That's Youth UTV. That's 1-2-1600. That is Class 5 and Trophy Light. There's one more class that we're trying to put our buddy Norman Francis really, really wants us to do a vintage class. And says that he can get 12 vehicles out there, but we're really hoping for 20 to 30 to 40 vehicles in a certain class. So I just don't see that. I don't know. We'll see. I hope we can get that to happen. But we're excited about it. It's going to be a really, really unique format. It's going to be Friday night. There's going to be a night race. It's going to be a Laughlin style deal where there's heats. And the first heat will be the youth UTVs because they don't have lights. And then we'll just work our way into the dark. We'll get done about midnight, and it's a 10-mile loop. And then on Saturday morning, we'll repeat it, except for this time we're going to do a land rush start, and we might reverse the direction of the course. If we can put together the course that we want to put together, we'll be able to run it backwards, and we'll land rush start it on Saturday morning. And then Saturday night, we're going to move over to the Lucas Oil Track. No changes. Drive the desert truck that you drove. Drive the desert car that you drove. Don't bring your little shorty tires, and don't bring this and don't bring that. We want to see you drive your desert car because this is a desert race on a short course track.
Yep.
And it is going to be go time, and it is going to be absolutely havoc. I've already let Dave Winter know that we need to order a bunch of fiberglass, and it's going to be epic. So we're really, really excited about this. You can go to TheOffRoadNationals.com, and we're just simply calling them the Nationals or the Nats. And
we're calling it the Nationals.
I know you don't like the Nats. I like the Nats because 10 years from now, they're going to be going, yeah, did you go to the Nats? And of course I went to the Nats. I had to go to the Nats. Everybody's big. Everybody that's fast goes to the Nats. That's what's going to happen.
I'm sure of it.
For sure.
Okay.
Mark my words.
I'm marking them.
I crashed today really bad.
Yeah, you did. God, that was funny.
It was so slow and so stupid.
Oh, yeah. What were you doing, like half a mile an hour?
Yeah. But
we just built an Endurocross track at the house. That was the big thing for today. And
Mike Watson did. Let's not say we.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Jeff and Mike Watson really did the heavy lifting on this deal.
Well, you know, I went and got the water.
Half the time. I got it the other
good
half.
Good point. Yeah. We're doing our fair share.
So that's true. We're we built a track.
We
today.
Built a track.
That's right. We didn't even need those guys.
Yeah.
We had water. We didn't need them.
We had plenty of shovels.
We didn't have any tires or a tractor or the ability to drive them like Mike Watson does, but
right.
He's really, really good on the thing. He was picking these tires up. One of them was a 37.50 by something. I don't know, but the inside of the wheel was the size of a 37-inch tire.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's the largest thing, and so he set up this incredibly big tire obstacle, and then two, as if that wasn't enough, there's two tire walls, like you see in Endurocross, leading up to it. And it is badass. And so I'm like, well, we can't just do all this work and not go ride it. So someone's got to go do it. And Josh is hurt with his knee. And, you know, Mike was on the tractor and loading it. And Jeff didn't have any plans to ride today. And that left Rachel, and she wasn't about to do it. So I decided I'm going to go do it. And I'll just blip over these two, be done with it. I was a little concerned about the tire section, but not the tire walls. No. And I crashed my fucking brains out on the first tire
wall. On the
wall.
First one.
Yeah.
You came around the corner, went right over the first one.
You're saying I was going too fast?
No.
Was that the deal?
Oh, well, yeah, man, I would have backed it down a little bit.
He built such a perfect ramp.
Yeah, I know.
That
I know,
it was
that's
so smooth.
It's now just a jump, which is it's fine because it'll get dug out. And then we're left with slamming into tires, huh. Which is what we'll work
that's
up
okay.
to.
That's okay, yeah.
Which is going to suck because that's going to be my starting point.
Well, so anyway, so I get up and over it just fine. But when I land, the other side is absolutely silt powder with no moisture. And I already have a front flat tire, and it sticks. And my front tire does not move at all, as if I hit my brakes. And the bike, of course, I hit the ground, and then the bike came over and spiked me on top of that. And, of course, I was wearing tennis shoes and shorts, and thank God I was wearing a helmet. I don't ever ride without a helmet. But, of course, my son, Caden Lindsay, who has been waiting his whole life for a I got you moment, and my wife and Caden's sister and Mike and Jeff and Rachel and everybody, Shelly, Rich, they're all standing right there. And of course,
oh yeah,
I had a stupid moment, but, I'll get out there and I'll finish it.
All right.
I hope Jeff gets out there tomorrow with some water and sprays it.
That would be nice. That would be nice. If not, probably when we get home from work tomorrow or when I get home from the doctor's.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Or if I have a feeling I won't be able to move tomorrow. I'll be so sore. I'm so old. So anyway, so Silver State, what's your predictions?
Ooh, really tight course, really fast. It's weird because the day goes by really long. It's a really fast course. Yeah, everything just bam, 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 bam. Do we have an entry list yet for that?
Oh God, we just got an entry form in the mail. It's still a month away.
Okay. Have you heard? Are the winners coming?
I don't know. I who cares? I don't care.
Well, it doesn't matter for my pick.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't know how you stop the Greg Bragg, Travis Williams machine that is happening right now.
You know what? Momentum. Bragg takes the win.
You can't pick my win. Now I got to go with somebody else.
You didn't tell me what your win was. I'm telling you, Bragg takes the win.
All right. I think one of the winners will be there.
Well, which one?
I don't know. I don't know. My gut tells me Corey, but
then no. No.
So I don't think he will
podium, but not a win.
Okay. So I'm going to go. Travis looked good there last year until his rear end went away. I believe they're putting the widening kit on for this race, which I think is a game changer at Silver State. So I've got to go with Travis on this one. And, you know, Bragg, I think it's going to come down to a better handling truck. And I think the widening kit wins out on this deal. I think Bragg's going to get into trouble because of it.
Why?
because I think he has to push that much harder to keep up with the wider truck. And so I'm going to go Herling second, Schmeezer third.
Ooh, Herling's was a good choice. It's the kid driving this year with Schmeezer, right?
Well, it's hard to say because I know that I do know that Jerry spends some time in the truck. So if Jerry's Schmeezer. Having a good day, Schmeezer. Oh yeah, Schmeezer for sure.
The kid's driving.
It's the kid. It's right. It's the
top five, not a podium finish.
Yeah,
Herling's. I was about to say podium, but now I got four people in the podium, and that can't happen.
That's an unusual podium.
Yes. Shoot. Herlings ends up second. Somebody makes a mistake somewhere.
Yeah, I said that.
I think Bragg's still going to win. Herlings going to end up second. Williams is going to end up fourth because of a flat tire.
You think it's that close that a flat tire is going to send him from being up front to the fourth place?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
So who's third?
Corey.
Corey Winner.
Corey.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. So when are you coming back? What's going on with you?
I don't know. I'll
still haven't been cleared to drive.
Yes. Fingers crossed. Everything goes well. I'm hoping April 22nd.
Why April 22nd?
Because that's when I meet with the doctor.
Oh. Important day.
Yes.
And he will clear you at that time, or he will give you a timeline of when to expect to be cleared?
No, I don't know what to expect. I really don't. I'm hoping that I walk in and he goes, let me see you jump up and down. Let me see you go left and right. Let me see you jog down the hallway.
Wow, and are you capable of doing all that?
All of it. All of it. I'm not supposed to, but yeah, all of it.
Huh.
I
got to tell you, it's turned me into a puss because I sit there. I watched you up on top of that tire today and I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, my baby, don't fall down off that. And how are you jumping down off that? And be careful. And how'd you climb up? How'd you get up there? Is it bad? Do you feel good? Because you still limp.
I feel really good. And the limping is not because of pain. It's not because of anything. It's just stiff. And if you notice, it's really only in the morning.
I've never seen you in the morning.
It's really only when I wake up. No, that's all. And that's the hard part is that I wake up, I go sit in the same position to drive up to the shop for 30 minutes. And then I go move around a lot. And after I move around a lot, I'm fine.
So what's going on in the world of off-road racing? Is there any big stories, any big thing? I know Andy McMillan wins San Felipe. Rob McCracken has a tranny go out early on. I know that Ryan McMillan. He probably wishes he was McMillan. Ryan Archiero.
Bad crash at the Mint.
Bad crash where they had to cut the top half of the truck off.
Yep, get the co-driver to the hospital. Yep.
Any word on whatever happened to him? Or
I hear he's doing okay.
Okay.
He's doing good. He'll be back.
What was your take on the $3,500 Mint 400? $3,500 a piece Mint 400. You got to pay for parking, got to pay for pit passes, got to pay for crew,
Ridiculous. They're killing what made off-road racing cool, which was the budget classes, guys out there just having a blast. They're killing it.
Where does the Mint 400 go in 2 years when their land permit is up?
I couldn't tell you.
I'll tell you.
You have any leads?
Yep.
Really?
It's going Pahrump.
Oh, God, why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Number one, they want it. The town wants it really bad.
Can the town support it?
Well, it's almost the same distance of drive, 20 minutes more than where it is now at Prim. So you don't need to stay in hotels to go out there.
Yeah, you can stay down in Vegas.
You can stay in Vegas, right? Number two, they have a rock garden, which the Mint has wanted back since the original days of having a rock garden. They have a rock section They have the last 35 miles is a shit show of rocks. Oh, God. And so they like that. Now, imagine that, Joshua. Imagine that going through it three or four times in Ooh. One race.
Oh. You guys have fun at that one.
Yeah. Whew. Thank God we have Yokohamas.
Yeah, no kidding. Are we going to allow 39s on Trophy Light for that race?
So... I think it goes to Pahrump, and I think that, from what I understand, the problem that they're having right now is coming up with a 100-mile loop, or a 130-mile loop, and because right now the race that we have out of Pahrump is a 250-mile loop.
Right.
Right. Where do you cross the highway? Where do you, a race of that stature, How do you control the crowds? Where do you have your spectator areas? Where do you do this? Where do you do that?
Isn't Pahrump kind of like Mexico? I mean, let them go.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no kidding.
But so they're trying to figure all that stuff out now. But
thanks,
I think
BLM.
I think that's where it's headed. I don't know for sure, but I do have a little bit of intel that might be where it's headed. Was the Mint smaller or larger than what you expected with the new prices and that kind of thing?
That's what I heard, was that they were not filling up classes.
Well, it's a little misleading because
they added the bikes.
They added a bikes, which was 100 bikes. So it looked like a bigger number.
Right.
But the cars were a smaller number.
Yes.
That was my understanding.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
So, and the UTVs... How did you think the two-day format worked out?
I liked it a lot more.
Having Friday off was bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, it was bizarre. Yeah, who's snoring? Is that Mrs. Cobb or Vinny? One of the two.
Well, both of them are out.
Yeah, they are out to the world.
Definitely like the two-day format, both contingency and the racing. Yeah, I couldn't even tell you what we did on Friday. That's how weird it was.
Well, you went to your autograph signing.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And that was about it. I mean,
we set up the pits and sat around and talked.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got to know each other.
Thanks, Bill. yeah, let's do that more often.
Yeah, it was cool.
How come the Mint won't go to more of like a Laughlin style where they'll see the cars, you know, twice as much, and you could actually control what the infield, you know, has. And
I don't think you want that.
Really cool stuff.
I don't think you want that.
I do.
You want to go through the Rock Garden 7 times?
What? No. I'm not saying that. I mean, maybe don't put it at Pahrump if you're going to do that. But like a Laughlin style to where... Short race, charging hard the whole time.
You don't have that now?
No, we do with Laughlin. Yeah.
You don't have that with the Mint?
With the Mint?
You don't treat the Mint like a 500 miler. You treat it like a 300 miler. You sprint the whole time.
Yeah, which is really weird because it's rough.
Well, but it is a 300 miler. It's like 327 miles or whatever.
That's a good point. But not to the extent of Laughlin.
I got to tell you, I'm disappointed. Now, this is going to sound really... You got to follow me on this, okay?
Oh, I don't follow you very well.
I know you don't. I'm going to do my best to explain it.
Okay.
And I hope the three people listening get what I'm trying to say here. And I hope if Matt Martelli hears this... Matt, I don't mean any disrespect by this, but here's what I'm trying to say. So many people... whined and bitched about the cost of the Mint, which I got to tell you, I agree with you. Why take the only race where we have the ability to charge for spectators and charge the racers more? I think it's ludicrous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I understand that the Trick Truck guys wanted 2 days because they want the ability to race not at night because they don't think that they can do any passing or catch anybody at night because of the dust. I get that. So why not charge those assholes?
Yeah, but isn't that desert racing?
It is desert racing. It is exactly desert racing. And let's be honest, everything we do is trying to mimic the Baja 1000.
Right.
Right? So when we race at night, when we race in the day, when we race when it's rough, we're all trying to mimic that whole big thing about endurance and what a hard road it was to get to the finish line and the epic challenge that it was to, and when we turn on those high intensity lights and you could see till next week and racing through the dust and the silt and the getting stuck and the all, blah, 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 all of that. We're supposed to bring that to you in one 400 mile race. And now it's in 2 days, 4 days with a contingency, 5 days with the awards, 6 days if you count qualifying, 7 days if you're a vendor. What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Stop it. Okay? I know we want this big festival deal. Okay. How about the festival being two really, really emotionally charged, action-packed days of qualifying and contingency and what registration and tech and all of that crap, and then 2 days of racing, and let's call it a goddamn race, number one. Number two, if you're that upset about the price, I'm upset that the winners did not support Trophy Light. We run their bodies. We run their suspension kits. We have done everything we can for them. I'm mad that they chose this time to stand up for their rights. However, with that being said, I applaud them because they actually stood their ground. Everybody, all you fucking haters on social media and all you guys that hide your keyboard cowboys that stood out there and went, this is bullshit, this is ridiculous, and then you went, I can't wait to get my UTV signed up in this race.
Yeah.
And you went out there and you raced it. Either shut up or let's do something as a group and tell them that we will not put up with $3,500 entry fees. And you goddamn UTV motherfuckers have not been paying full price the whole time anyway. And you're four-wheel drive and you're fast and you're tearing up the course just as much as anybody else. And there's fucking 100 of you.
Yeah. That's so ridiculous.
Why
is that? They are
why
not,
is that? If they paid the same price everybody else did, there wouldn't be nearly as many of them, which is the same thing we're fighting right now.
But that's not what they want.
Fuck them!
No, fuck them. I get that. They're just out there on their ninth hole. They're not even hitting par, okay? They've got a double bogey going on. It's not a good day.
Well, that's the majority of them.
Right, but
That's 75 out of 100 of them.
But it is nice that they aren't considering them a real race car, which is...
No flats at the Mint for Yokohama.
Yeah.
What? I'm not trying to push any agenda, but...
What does that have to do with it?
I've never seen a UTV not get a flat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the tire technology and the belt technology are linked.
On a UTV.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's seriously, why aren't they paying the same amount?
Because they don't consider them real race cars, which is stupid because they have a pro production class and a pro turbo class. The word pro, not sure if you guys know this, means professional. The same thing that we are.
Anybody that receives money for racing a car,
yep,
if they finish in the top three, should be paying the same entry fee. Now, if the trick trucks are getting something different than what everybody else is, i.e. a television program, i.e. a special course or they need special crew or they need special room or whatever to promote our sport, great. That's fantastic. But then their entry fee should be $5,000.
For sure.
And ours should be back to what it was or whatever. But here's my point. Dave Winter, great job on sticking to your guns and doing what you say you're going to do. All you other assholes that get on there and just spew hate and talk about how shitty it is, and then you go, okay? You know what? All you said to us is that we can't believe anything you say or this race is more important than than what you thought, or the points championship is more important than what you're saying it is. Okay? And that's fine, but then it's worth every penny. Because then you can't gripe about the cost.
And especially for somebody that has every penny.
Most of the guys do. Okay? So I understand I understand for a UTV guy to be chasing the points. Let's say that a guy goes out and has a great 250 and he wasn't expected to. He's a mid-packer and he ends up in the top 10. He wants to go hard at the points. He can't afford $3,300 or whatever their entry fee was, $2,800 or whatever. I saw those guys bitching about their cost, and it was $1,000 less than Trophy Lights.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't get it. I don't get it. If they just charge those guys normal, nobody else would have to pay more.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, Schmeezer, okay?
Okay.
Money's tight over there. He didn't have to be there. But they really want to go racing.
They want to go racing, and they want to race with the best.
Yep.
And they went there to do it. But they also weren't online saying, this is stupid, this is ridiculous, we should boycott.
Not my point. My point is that...
All the guys that are trying to boycott and spew hate and talk shit and do all this, stand up and do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Or shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's it. It's that simple. Now, I understand that these guys, they should have an opinion, and they're allowed an opinion, and whatever. But really what you're saying is that I'm willing to go to the Mint because the championship is more important to me, or the race is more important to me, or my crew really likes this race and it's worth it to me, or shut up.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. So many people, and yet they had 400 cars racing. And I guarantee you, out of those 400 cars, 300 of those guys are loudmouth pieces of shit online. All right, pieces of shit might be a little harsh, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure nobody listening on this podcast is one of those 300. So that's that. So now we go back to reality. Back to reality is Silver State at $2,000 or whatever it cost. And then we go back to the San Felipe. And you know San Felipe now is less money than doing Parker?
Jesus.
Prices have gone up. Racing in America is expensive. But they don't have the safety down there. All you see is things getting stolen left and right down there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nightmare getting across the border. You have Trump talking about closing the borders.
Yeah, you don't know when you're going to be able to come back or if you're going to be able to come back or not.
Pre-running's available. So what happens if you're a Josh Cobb and we can't afford to send you down to go pre-running, but you're racing against a Ryan Winter who has all the money and the resources to go down there and go pre-running?
Well, you start at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Yeah, and you understand that going in, and you know you just have to drive that much harder, you have to drive that much faster, you have to take those many chances or whatever, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But we choose not to race down there because of some of those reasons, right? But I think we should go back. I think we should go back to Mexico for one race.
Take the Trophy Light Series to Mexico?
I want to.
Code Night Race. That's your race.
I love that race.
I'm telling you right now, that's your race.
But that's not the race to get the guys across the border for. If guys are going to come across the border to race a Trophy Light, they're going to do it for one reason and one reason only, and that's to race and score at the 500 or the 1,000. Period. End of story. Done. Over. I think the 500 is like 1,000 to a Trophy Light.
For sure it is. 1,000's too much. And especially with every third year it being point-to-point.
Yeah.
Guys can't do that.
Interesting thought. We're also looking at doing two events next year. Dramatic changes, for sure, for next year. Interesting. What else is going on?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Let's talk about Supercross.
Oh, God, no.
It's friggin' awesome. Are you on the Cooper Webb bus?
No. Fuck them.
Are you still with that dumbass on that green bike?
Are you talking about the dumbass that just won last night? Or which dumbass are you talking about?
I'm talking about the dumbass that fired the team manager guy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He did not.
I'm talking about the dumbass.
You think he did, therefore it means he did.
Yes.
Yeah. No, not how it works, bud.
Do not sit there and tell me how it works. Oh. I'll tell you how it works.
Oh, fuck.
That kid is an epic
head case.
Mess.
Yes, he's a mess. Yes, head case. Yes, needs to figure out some.
He needs to get away from his dad.
Reason.
He needs to get away from his dad.
Oh, is that what it
his
is?
His dad's an enabler.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way.
I am so far from being an enabler for your bad behavior. You take that back.
Take what back?
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I will
turn this chair over.
It's on the air.
Oh, so it's like being on the internet. That makes it true.
Yep, it's true.
not even close.
And it won't go away.
It won't ever. It's on. It's immortalized.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
John,
no, I'm still with him, and it's every time I start to lose hope, he just reels it right back in.
That's because every. Ooh, excuse me, it's so late. I'm so old. Every fourth race, fifth race, sixth race, he wins. Now watch what
he does.
That's
consistency. He's playing the game.
He's losing the game.
Yeah, no. He's playing the game. Don't matter if
Cooper Webb's going to win the championship.
Unfortunately. Then we're going to have another.
Do you know that Marvin Musquin and Eli Tomac are now tied for second in points?
Yeah, that's.
Do you understand that Cooper Webb could not show up to the next round and still leave with the points lead?
One and done. That's all I'm going to say. And your first one doesn't count.
What do you mean?
You always told me that growing up.
What do you mean, though? One and done what?
Championships.
You're saying that Cooper Webb only wins one
Cooper
450?
Cooper Webb wins one 450 championship and does not do anything.
He pulls an Anderson.
Yes.
I agree with you. I think this is an anomaly. But who is going to be who's going to be the Dungy of, and quite frankly, Ken Roczen and Eli Tomac both got ass raped by the Dungy method this year. It was very clear that those guys came out being very conservative, being very ultra slim on making mistakes, making moves they didn't have to, pushing the envelope, that kind of thing. Those guys came out very conservative, playing the Ryan Dungy method, and it bit them in the ass. Because here they are now, both riding better than they have all year. Well, Eli Tomac, who knows? But Ken Roczen has his best opportunity to win right now. Did you watch last night?
I did.
Did you see what happened to him in the 450 final?
I fell asleep a couple of laps after Tomac took the lead.
Okay, so you saw Ken Roczen. Did you see that whole deal?
Which part?
So Joey Savacci goes down in front of him.
Yes, I did see that. He flips over the tough blocks onto the backside of the
yes.
berm. Everybody
clearly the fastest guy all day, all night, all everything. He's in fourth place. You're thinking this is going to be an epic showdown. Cooper Webb's out front. Eli Tomac's in third. Here we go. And Ken Roczen has the worst luck on the planet.
You're going to call that luck?
Luck? Someone's got a voodoo doll or
don't
someone's...
follow. What do you yell at the TV constantly?
That's a valid point.
Don't follow. What did he
you're
do?
You're in a bowl corner. What are you going to do?
There's six different lines in that corner.
Not that early.
Oh, si, senor.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. I will tell you that you might, I'm not going to give you any credit at all, but you might have a point there. But he had nowhere to go. A super simple bowl corner.
Do you know?
And Savacci.
Do you know how you do have somewhere to go?
Hmm.
If you don't follow him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah. So about that.
So who do you think is going to win the championship? Do you think Cooper Webb comes down?
I think Cooper Webb wins the championship.
Or does he melt down in the last... How many rounds are left?
God, like four?
No, there's not that many. Three? I don't think there's that many.
I think it's either three or four.
Because they take Easter off.
Right.
So that means there's three rounds left. Because they finished the first week in May, right? The week that we're in Silver State, I think they finish.
Is the finals.
Okay. So, you think Cooper Webb can maintain enough of a points lead to bring this home? They're saying, they said last night that he could bring it home a race early. How about that?
That's ridiculous.
So, he goes to Vegas with the number one plate. That's huge.
I don't like it.
So, who wins between Muscan and Tomac? Last three races.
God, I'm rooting for Tomac. I'm going to say Tomac, but I really feel like it's not going to be him. But I'm going to go with Tomac.
It's not going to be him. So Muscan.
Muscan, yeah.
Okay.
Honest to God, I hope Cooper Webb melts down these last three races. Absolutely goes back to his Yamaha days and doesn't do anything. Because I think like we were talking about, when it's your time, it's your time. And sometimes you're due for a win and sometimes you're due for a loss. And I think he's due for a loss. A hard loss.
Cooper Webby, that is?
Yeah.
What's going on with Justin Barcia?
Oh,
so he wins the first race of the year.
I don't know. I was wondering that last night as he was.
He pulled off in the middle of the race. Is it the bike?
And how come we don't hear anything about Barcia? I mean, there's nothing being said about
him. If you were Yamaha, would you be bragging about him?
No, but I mean, like, even guys with like Pulp MX and the other podcasts out there that talk strictly moto, there's no mention of him. Nobody cares about him. Why? I mean, there's been more stuff said about Aaron Plessinger this year, who has done less somehow.
So that's interesting. I asked at the beginning of the year, some questions about Supercross. Let me see if I can find it. I wonder where we are right now with that.
Good luck finding that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, I do.
So I sent it out to a bunch of my friends and got some really, really interesting answers. And basically it was, I just came up with 25 random questions about where we thought we were going to be with Supercross and, at the end of the year. So, let me see if I can find it while we're talking, but 250s. So yesterday, Savachi, who has been undefeated,
undefeated?
Not Savachi. I'm sorry. Faulkner has been undefeated. Blows out his knee without even crashing.
Without crashing. Goes down earlier in the day. Is fine. Gets back up. Gets on the bike. Finishes qualifying or practice, whatever he was doing. Goes back to qualify. Blows out his knee. I mean, how do you explain that? Something had to have happened in that earlier crash that the adrenaline was pumping and just all of that.
All right, so here's the questions that I asked, and let's just go through them quickly, but also the answers that are probably going to happen or have happened, okay? Who wins A1? All right, we know who wins A1. In the 250 and the 450. So we know that Barcia won, and we know that Adam Cincirillo did not, and he was supposed to. He fell apart for the first two rounds.
Justin Cooper?
No. That's the wrong. That's Nick East Coast. Lake. Yeah. No.
No.
Jeez. No. I think it was.
It was the Yamaha guy.
I don't know. If you had some sort of magic box that could tell you, and you cared,
you got one in front of you.
So, well, I'm looking this up, and I'm doing a podcast. So, anyway, it doesn't matter. It wasn't Adam Cianciarulo. Who will win the 250 SX title? Okay, I think we know that it's going to be Adam Cianciarulo. Cianciarulo.
Yes.
Okay. But that's not finished yet, right?
Yes, and definitely not settled.
So who will win the 250 East Supercross title? I, like a dumbass, put Martin Davalos.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're going to get points taken away for that.
That is so funny because he's so horrible.
Wow.
Although he did win last night.
Yeah, it means absolutely nothing.
No, you're right. Who will win the 450 SX title?
Ugh.
I said Ken Roczen. Who did you say?
I know I said Tomac.
Tomac, okay. Who will do better, Aaron Plessinger or Zach O for the year?
Plessinger.
Okay, so
went Zach O.
I went Zach O, of course.
And then he got hurt.
Then he got hurt, but now Plessinger's been hurt since Daytona.
He has?
You didn't even know he was out? He's been out since Daytona.
I was wondering where since he was at.
March 10th or something like that. Who will do better, R.J. Hampshire or Hunter Lawrence? Hunter Lawrence has been horrible.
R.J. Hampshire.
Yes, for sure. Maybe he's the one that won. He might be the one that won.
No, I thought he won round two.
Will Cooper win? I'm sorry. Will Cooper Webb get a win in 2019?
Oh, I probably said no to that.
I said no to that.
Oh, God.
I said no to that.
Oh,
thank God that was only worth 5 points.
Oh.
Will Cooper Webb get a podium in 2019?
I think I said no to that.
I said no to that as well. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Will Cooper Webb get a top five in 2019?
Hey, we will not be doing this next year because it's ruining Supercross, okay?
I said yes.
You're the reason.
Will Adam Cianciarulo do every race in the series? I asked that because he's been injury prone, of course.
I think I said yes.
I said yes. How many races will Adam Cianciarulo win in 2019?
I think I said like four.
That's exactly what I said. Will Martin Davalos finish the season in the top three in points?
No. Hard no.
I said yes.
He will. Because
I said he was going to win the championship. that's so stupid.
Oh, my God.
You know what I should have done? I should have said no to that one, even though I had him winning the championship. That way I could have got my points back regardless. So, okay. This is where it gets interesting. Who does better, Garrett Marchbanks or Mitchell Faulk? I say Garrett Marchbanks. I think he is doing better, but Mitchell Faulk had a great race last night.
Yeah, I didn't even see Marchbanks.
Okay, will Thomas Covington make a podium in 2019? I said no. He has not even... I don't think he's made every main.
He has not.
So, that's amazing. Will Blake Baggett get a top five in 2019?
I think I said yes.
I said yes. Who does better, Marvin Muscan or Justin Barcia? I said Marvin Muscan.
Oh, shit. I don't think I said that, but I should have. I'm kicking myself in the nuts for it right now.
Will Malcolm Stewart beat Justin Brayton in 2019 points?
Well, he was going to.
He clearly was going to, but I said no.
Because wait. When did Brayton get hurt?
It doesn't matter. Malcolm Stewart got hurt in the second round.
Yeah, but wasn't Brayton like
close? No, negative. Will Mr. Adversity, Chad Reed, make a podium in 2019?
Hard no.
He already has.
Yeah.
He already has.
Yeah.
And I said no, too.
Unfortunate.
Will Justin Hill get a podium in 2019?
I think I said yes.
I said yes, and we're both wrong.
That is not it.
Who wins more races, Jason Anderson or Eli Tomac?
Tomac, and I was right by default.
I said Eli Tomac as well. Who scores more points, Jason Anderson or Eli Tomac in 2019?
Tomac.
I said Jason Anderson.
Yeah.
Which, of course, wrong. Who is the best performer on Team Honda in 2019, Roczen or Sealy?
Oh, definitely not Sealy.
Well, I was thinking that Roczen wouldn't make all 17 rounds.
Yeah, I get that. Even if he didn't, I still think it'd be him.
Yeah, maybe. Who will be the biggest surprise in 2019? Savatchi or AP?
Savatchi.
Aaron Plessinger. I said Savatchi too, and we're both very, very right. Who will win? I'm sorry. How many races will Dylan Ferrandis win in 2019? This is for 20 points, and so far I'm spot on. He can't win any more, though.
Would you put one?
Two.
Two?
He's won back-to-back.
I'd probably put one.
Who wins Daytona?
Tomac.
Not what you know now.
That's what I put.
Tomac and who? Who won 250s?
I think I put Ciancerillo.
He wasn't even there. Or, it's an East Coast race.
Oh, shoot. I'd probably still put Ciancerillo.
I put Alex Martin and Ken Roczen.
Yeah.
And I put Ken Roczen because the Daytona Supercross is a Honda event, and they always do very well there. I actually had some thought behind mine. Anyway, so I'm not going to do very well on this.
Yeah, no, I might do even worse.
So, interesting. But it's been a great season, incredibly entertaining. For the first time ever, I can honestly say that the 450 racing has been way better than the 250 racing.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It's really exciting. What else is coming up, Josh?
Silver State, driving schools. We already touched on all of that.
Yeah. And then we have last three rounds of Supercross.
Yeah.
And we already touched on that.
Yeah.
What's going on? Anything else?
Nothing.
What do we got to touch on?
Nothing.
This is why we don't do podcasts every week.
Yep.
It seems like there's much more going on. Why are we so busy if there's nothing going on?
Oh, you know, because, you know, people order four trophy lights for a driving school and... Well, we got to provide that.
Yeah, how are we going to do that? Beg, borrow, and steal. Hey, all right. Well, you know what? Nice first effort on the comeback. We've been injured. We've been hurt.
Oh, boy.
We're making our comeback. You people asked for it. We literally had it. I know of three people that have said, hey, where's my podcast? How about you?
I got one.
You got one?
One.
So that's four. Wow. Four people. And I thought only three listened.
Wow.
It's huge.
That's like 33% higher than what we thought.
No, it's not. It's one quarter.
No. Because if you have three people and you add one more, you're now 33% higher than what you thought. Because you thought you had the three people.
One quarter. One quarter plus one quarter is one half.
No, I understand that.
One half plus one quarter is three quarters.
Hey, let me do the math.
No, you're wrong on this one.
You're not. I am. No, I'm.
Yes, you're wrong.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Hey, for Josh Cobb, for Vinny, for Gretchen, who made a very, very short appearance. And for everybody at the Cobb compound, Mike Watson, thank you. Nice job on the track today. Badass. Super excited. Shout out to Alex and John. We know you're listening. And the Spitzman, thanks for the request on doing the podcast. And we hope to talk to you guys soon. Signing off for now. I don't know why my voice got all whispery. It did. Oh, this is really weird. Having a surreal moment. Anyway, peace out. Thanks.